I don't even know what to say for like an intro or anything like that. It's like we can't say like we're back again.
This is like the lost tapes or something. Like we found these in the vault.
We have,
but not really.
I mean, it's gonna be quite relevant, but like,
yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
PEV Lane, but without the sign. Just imagine it's here.
Yeah. I feel like this is like a reaction video where it's like we're just talking to one another and it's very plain. Like, look at, we're both like grayscale.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Not planned.
I'm wearing like 50 anyway.
So, you're back from California.
Yeah. The race and ride event at Apple Valley Speedway. I got asked to be a co-host on the Amped broadcast and it was, I don't know. I keep telling people it's wild. That's the best explanation I can have. There's, I mean, a lot happened this year and people are talking about it. So I think that's why we want to make this video.
Yeah, I unfortunately wasn't there in person, but you know, me and a bunch of the Toronto E-Riders crew did like a watch party sort of thing. And we all, you know, watched along to the live stream that Amp broadcasted, you know, saw you there. But obviously the live stream doesn't cover the entirety of the event, which was a multi-day event.
Yeah, it turned out to be a two-day event this year, which hasn't happened in the past. And the first day, they did like a relay race, a PEV relay race.
Yeah, there was
kind of cool. They didn't broadcast that.
Yeah, there were some recordings I saw, or they were testing stuff, but it wasn't live broadcasted.
Yeah. Now, we'll get to it. I know a lot of people are here because they want to hear about the EUC final, the Eastgate final, some of the controversies that happened. We'll get there. Like and subscribe. We might do stuff like this again in the future, but we're going to answer those questions. But we kind of want to go, I think we want to go through the whole event from the perspective of someone who wanted to be there and wasn't there, and someone who was there and, well, not necessarily on the track, but if you watch the Amp broadcast, you'll see I was sitting on this side on the host table and doing a lot of the Eastgate stuff. So, yeah, let's talk about it. And do you have any like questions about things that happened? We could start the ball off rolling by kind of being like a viewer asking.
Yeah, I mean, of course these events are put on, you know, for the riders. It's a race and ride event. So people came from all over the country, from other countries, you know, to come to this event, whether it was to race, to co-host, or just to spectate. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious, like, what you think the event is like as a spectator. You know, you were both a spectator and a co-host and you weren't racing this year, which I don't know if you want to talk about or not, but we can get into that. But I'm more curious about like, what did you think of it as like a spectator perspective to start?
If you've ever been to like a PEV competition, you'll realize that there's at the moment, there's not many true like spectators. And a lot of them are like the team members and the friends and all those other people.
People waiting to race.
Yeah. So like you kind of get this vibe that like, oh my gosh, AVS is such a great track. And the race and ride event is, it would be such an amazing place to be. And then when you get there, you're like, oh, everyone's human. They're bleachers and it's speakers. And it's not like this big extravagant thing. So,
yeah.
I mean, it takes you back a little bit. But it just kind of, I guess that hints on the seriousness of it because everyone talks so highly of it. But it's just a serious event where you literally come in, open the trunk of your car, get your stuff,
your
and
gear.
You prep yourself. It's almost like you're a boxer taping up your hands.
Yeah.
You go to inspection. You get in line to do your qualifying. Like it's just,
so
it's wild.
It reminds me of like an open track day almost to some extent. Like I'm used to going to track days for cars and, you know, you show up at an open track day and there's basically people, whether it's timed events or just solo events going on, and you kind of just show up. So I feel like, I guess I just wanted to give a huge shout out to Amped, you know, one for bringing you down and then letting me live intrinsically through you now.
Yeah.
But shout out to Amped because I feel like from a spectator's perspective, not being able to go there, they did an amazing job this year at like leveling it up. And the broadcast was great. Like everyone here in Toronto, we were watching it all together, like a watch party. And it actually made it much easier to kind of keep up with what was going on and to watch. Whereas you go to like an open track day, you have no idea what's happening, right?
Yeah.
Like there could be PEVs, whatever it is. It's so, shout out to Amped again. Like they did a great job of keeping it organized with the time crunch and the schedules that you guys had. So
and there's controversies all over that. People are talking highly of the broadcast like you. Yeah. And then other people who watched it are going to have some critical views and stuff. You know, let's just nail the hammer on the head right now. People are talking about, you know, not knowing the riders on the track and having a roster and stuff like that and a spotter to spot the riders. We had all of those things and running a broadcast with like five or six PEV riders, not like technicians, not people who work in tech. We're making riders into hosts and broadcasts. You know, it was really difficult to do, and I feel like we did a decent job, but like...
For sure. And you guys aren't at like F1 level yet where you've got like on-screen cameras of the riders and like their names and everything as you switch cameras, so...
So if you look at the, you know, what's being written online and on Facebook and stuff like that, it's not that Amped... Amped's definitely not taking a lot of this criticism with a grain of salt. We're saying thank you to a lot of the people who have these views and just taking it in, because we really, you know, we, as in speaking on behalf of the Amped team, I guess I could say, are always looking to improve, and they're always talking about how they can improve too. So, of course, there's going to be...
There's a lot they can improve, you know, on.
Let's nail the hammer on the head. It wasn't perfect, of course, but from if you look at the last event, the event before that, the event before that, the progression is right on track. So that was great to see.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm just comparing to what I've seen in the past, you know, last year, as well as Amped Electric Games, right? Their own event that Amped holds in Bentonville. At least it was in Bentonville, if it continues there. But like even comparing that to this, the level obviously went up. So it's cool to see that and to see the progression. Obviously, there's lots that can be improved on. We all were talking about it in our watch party, like, oh, same kind of things you're touching on. Like, who was that rider? And you could kind of see sometimes there's a delay with you guys as the co-host figuring out, like, oh, we're going to wait for the corner to get a figure out who that rider was. And you guys, at least you were open about that, and you weren't like,
Well, and if you listen really closely with headphones to the broadcast,
you probably hear the guy.
We'll play some of the footage here today.
Yeah.
You could hear the spotters on the side,
calling
the Cobra yelling it out to us, or me yelling it out to them on the booth.
Being nice.
Like, number 54. I was always being like, Hajali, Douglas, Zach Darnell,
Mario.
Oh, and you know, we never got, you know, we were never perfect. But we did our best. So, I mean, that's speaking on Amped. Props to them. And it's great to hear that from your perspective, because from my perspective, I'm always at the event. I never see the live stream till after.
Yeah, for sure.
And I have both sides of the story then at that point. So it's different for me, right? But let's get back to AVS and, you know, the Race and Ride event. And huge, super, super shout out to Moby Biggs for putting this on. And he's getting a lot of flack right now because of how like controversial this could be. And let's go through all of that. And, you know, I'm going to be full frontal about it all. A lot of this, I'm on Mo's side. And a lot of the other racers, although it may not be official or the way it was set out to be, they also have great points according to how PEV racing maybe should be held. So that's a good discussion to have, to differentiate between race rules known in the race world with vehicles and other things, and, you know, what is possible and what we should do for our PEV events too. So that's
for sure.
Maybe it's a good thing that this controversy is coming up in the air.
Yeah.
But I just kind of want to lay it out from where, you know, it is now and give my biased opinion on it too, right?
So. Yeah, definitely. And I think I saw some of your thoughts online, and, you know, I agreed with, you know, maybe there's some things I think that you don't agree with, and we can kind of touch on those throughout the conversation.
Yeah. So this was it started off as an e-skate event known as the Southern California Performance Day, which is kind of a cool idea. And it's grown into this race and ride event with all sorts of things. So on the Saturday, there was a relay race with teams, and they had to they required to have like one of each PEV on the team and a team of five.
Okay.
15 laps total, 3 laps each, 5 racers. And that was a really cool event that went over well. And I believe it was the Knight Riders team or a team from California of some sort with Mario Chacon and Roger Hajali.
Oh, okay.
And then the second and third place went to Alien Rides teams.
Oh, okay. I was just about to ask, excelling. Did Alien Rides have a team name, or are they just Alien Rides?
Because it was a relay race, they were just Alien Rides. But they had enough people to have two teams, and they came second and third.
Nice.
So they did great. They really showed out there.
Nice.
And then Sunday hit, and like, just to give you guys a little bit of behind the scenes, we were up like real late going through the broadcast schedule and making all the interviews and shorts and making sure they were all done up because they were filmed that day. And like, we were up real late. We woke up early. We came in, finished the setup, tried to get all the cameras up and everything. And suddenly we had to wait. And the broadcast was supposed to start, and we'll show you here in a second what the broadcast is.
Yeah, there was a lot of confusion around that.
We had to wait, and just nerves kept on coming up. So there was a couple things that happened. You could see it online. They ran maybe a little bit behind qualifications, and there was a slight rumor that maybe they were waiting out for the wind to die down a little bit, because it was supposed to die down in the afternoon, 1 or 2-ish.
Okay.
And we were told as we were starting about an hour late-ish that we got approached and said, we have about another hour. Which at that point was good for the Amped team, means we could fully solidify our broadcast setup, because it just, we were still working on it at that point. We were good to go, but weren't 100%. We were about 99%. So that gave us the extra time just to solidify things. But then eventually the broadcast came to be. So
yeah, and I think,
and you guys were waiting at home for a lot of this, right?
Having we were waiting. We had no idea what was going on. There was definitely some confusion around, like, even the start time that the amp team you guys had posted on your live broadcast on YouTube was incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
There was some conversation in the chat. You can probably see it if you go look at the recording. We were just confused as to when the start time was. And then once that was solidified, it was fine. But then obviously you guys were delayed for other reasons, like the qualifying and so forth. Yeah. I think one of the things around the delays that then I think maybe led to another issue was the cool interviews that you guys did with, like, the different riders that were in between races. Those were awesome, I thought, but they kept getting cut off. We talked
I'll
about
explain
this.
That. Yeah. I'll explain why all of this is. So,
you know, every time it would go and be like, oh, this is cool. And then all of a sudden it just cut off the video
and
random.
And they're rolling.
And the race is on. Yeah. Right. Like you guys didn't know they were about to race or something.
Yeah. So I'll explain why this is the way it is. And it's kind of, you know, of course I get it. But there's reasons behind this, and I'm really excited to, like, let people know my truth. Hopefully it is the truth, but yeah. So eventually the broadcast came to air. And do we want to show people the opening with just the opening sequence, or at least see the first half of it or somewhat?
Can see if it's working here.
Oh, it's definitely working here. We got it going. We have our trusty screen down here where we're going to play the video. So we're going to hit screen record.
Yeah.
So then you guys can see what we're seeing. But yeah, eventually the broadcast hit. I was at the host table and they said, we're going live, we're going live. And I have this big screen ahead of me. And then this is what you see at home, and this is what I see. And this is when my
you guys had monitors,
adrenaline
right?
starts going. Yep. So this is what it is.
And Electric Games, the voice of electric sports.
The amped opening. We all love it now. Ooh, what a beautiful beginning. That was done by Nick, who's the director.
This had to have been done the day prior, right?
Or no, did you guys this was done a while back.
Oh, okay,
a while back.
Okay.
This is all footage from
the
day before.
It's all stooge boards.
Yeah, it's all footage from the year before.
Got it.
And that's what Amp Team was saying. It's so great to have the second year, because now we can use footage from last year.
Yes, that makes sense.
They've curated this video months in advance. So when I saw this before we came out.
That's sick. Woo! Yeah, it gives you goosebumps. And, like, I love that they use high quality footage. They didn't just use, like, the stream footage.
Yeah.
Like,
so
this is actual the recording off the drone rather than, like, the live stream.
Yeah. So for those at home who don't know, they live stream, but they also record what they're doing so they could repost it in HD, which, man, somebody needs to be paid full time for this, but nobody's 100%. Being paid.
Yeah. You guys are all amazing volunteers to step up and do this.
Yeah. So I'm sitting at the co-host booth while this is going on right now, knowing these racers are on the track, and I'm like,
it didn't start with, it started with Eastgate, right? Was Eastgate the first?
Back in the day, yeah. It was the only thing out there, yeah.
Okay.
In the past couple of years, the UC's been
invited.
They've
expanded, yeah. Then they have the trikes now with the Surons included, and yeah.
Yeah.
You guys have so many people that there's groups and everything now.
You know what? A lot of the video you see here is UC's and Eastgates. Saw the trikes. I'm surprised we didn't see many e-scooters.
Yeah, that's right. I figured.
Racing. Come on.
Yeah, I was surprised by that too, and I figured they would have been there, or at least grouped in with the, that's the Roger crash, the famous one?
No, that's Show and Douglas, Show. And we talked a lot about that on the broadcast, and I believe they were in different classes this year or something. Anyway, Show ended up winning
Show
this
won,
year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spoiler
Douglas
alert.
Douglas performed well too. I mean, yeah.
You guys have already seen it.
Yeah, we're hoping you're here in the, you know, post-watching the event.
Yeah.
Or having an understanding of what's going on.
Hopefully
at least
we gave a
community.
Good high-level overview of what this event is. And, you know, it's in California.
Yeah. So
race event, multiple PVs.
This happened here, and there's a lot of Eastgate footage, and it finishes up. You know, we'll just fast forward through this a little bit. And then it starts the broadcast.
Yep.
And we're trying to time.
When you guys come in. And
when we come in with when the broadcast ends. And I forget what the problem was. We were waiting on something and suddenly this video ended and this is what we got. And we were kind of sitting there at the host desk and we were like,
I remember this.
Yeah.
I think you guys started talking. Let's see if it happens.
You could probably hear something,
but
Nick,
it's
the
not
director
on
over there is trying to direct everything that's going on. You have Chris over at the table punching the buttons and making what you see on the screen happen.
Yep.
And then there's us at the desk going,
are we ready?
I forget what the controversy was or something, where maybe it was a video or, you know, we didn't have things. Oh, we didn't have the host camera up. I think that's what it was. So yeah, it yeah, that's what it was, camera. 100%. We didn't have the host camera up. So we're like, well, do we start talking over this?
Mm.
I'm like, ah. And we had it running like 2 seconds before. So, of course, like...
Welcome, everybody, to Race...
Magician.
You guys just start, like, and then eventually it switches.
We had to do something, right? Yeah, yeah. We were like, oh, we don't have it? Okay, we got to give the people something. A lot of this is scripted in a way that's like bullet point scripted, so you're not reading word for word and trying to keep the flow of things. So it was great to have this, and this was my first experience kind of like...
Nice.
Oh, I'm on the panel.
So what is happening on the track? Was this just like open tracking at this point?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I saw a mix of different PEVs and...
Yeah, and if you're annoyed by us talking over this, you should go back and watch the broadcast. We're going to talk over this, and hopefully the volume's really quiet in the background. But yeah, props to Amp for doing this, so give them the viewership by having you go back there. But yeah, open track.
Yeah, we'll link to the stream.
And we're waiting for this open track to be closed off for the competition to start. So we're sitting there at the host desk going, how much do we got to make up? We have a lot to go through, and you know, an Amped broadcast is like a production. It's a show. So we have things to go through, and that's why we'll talk about those interviews and being cut off and stuff. This is the Amped show that's going on pretty well at this point. So we've got things we could say, things we want to mention, things we have videos for, key points about the track and whatnot. So yeah, that's, we started to get into that here.
I'll skip ahead a bit here. Here we go.
Yeah, and then I got the host camera.
Then it jumped over to you guys. We'll show a second of this. So this was the three of you guys. I know you guys alternated between yourself, Cobra, and then Seth in the middle here was kind of like throughout the races. And you were, I guess, the Eastgate specialized expert there on the table. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're very familiar with all the PVs.
And there was a mention of that online, too. But
yeah.
I started in Eastgate, and I like to think that I primarily... would like to focus on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was some mention that he knows a lot about UC too.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
Yeah. But it was cool. Like, I like that. I feel like it's difficult to have a three-man broadcast because, you know, one-on-one, it's a lot easier to bounce back and forth between, like, the race. Like, when you're doing a live broadcast, having a third person actually becomes very challenging.
Yeah.
So I kind of agree with what they did, having, whether it was you or Cobra on, depending on the race event. Because I can understand like how having a three-man like co-host, whatever during live racing would be challenging to figure out who's going to talk. And
yeah, think about it like professional sports, and that's the way they're trying to see it too. They'll start off with a beginning and an ending with an entire panel, and every person's got a specialty of some sort. You know, it could be a panel of like ESPN and all these big networks and stuff. They're doing like 10-person panels and stuff, right? And then when you go to the competition, it's
like two people, side by side. Welcome.
Unless you're the Toronto Raptors, then you have Drake show up randomly and he'll just put on the headset and...
great, wonderful. Hi, welcome. But yeah, no, I watched a lot of that too, and to see that they followed that practice as well, to have a little bit of a panel and then to have a two-person more specialty type
during
thing.
The live event,
Yeah, it was kind of cool, so...
Very cool to watch.
Yeah, so we can get into like some competitions here.
Maybe we want to talk about some of the controversies so that we don't have to go through the whole video. It's a 3-hour stream, I think, for those of you at home who haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Definitely go check it out. It's almost nicer that, well, you know, after it's live, you can skip through some of the in-between parts. If there's like in-between races and so forth, if you just want to check out the races, go do that.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But I know there was a lot of, I don't know what you want to talk about.
Yeah, let's just hit it one thing at a time and we'll just go through it real quickly. One of the first things that kind of popped up was, I believe there was some controversy under the order of things and how things should be done. And
yes, I was definitely a little confused about that.
Yeah, I didn't know who was upset or what the story was. Either way, the schedule got flipped up and the trikes, bikes, and scooters ended up going first amongst everyone else in that. I don't think that was part of the schedule.
Okay.
I'm not here to stir up any drama about who was upset for whatever reason. Either way, the schedule was not the way that it was originally planned at the top.
Yes.
And then they eventually worked their way into the proper schedule that they had planned out. But the beginning was a little weird. So we saw the trikes coming up, and I was over at the host booth being like, okay, those are the people on there, and then having to relay that back to the host, being like, all right, this is what's going on. This is what I think it is. It gets difficult when you see the EUCs or the e-skates going out there knowing they have multiple classes.
Yeah, novice, exactly.
Sportsman.
Was there three classes? Yeah.
Novice, sportsman, and pro.
Got it.
So being able to, you know, pull out one rider
who figure out what class they're in.
Yeah. And be like, okay, that's Turbo New York City over there. Tell that to them. They'll figure out where he is. And that's, okay, that's the heat that's going
as
on.
As a viewer, that was kind of confusing as well. Cause you know, you're trying to figure out like who is up and is it the female group? Is it mixed? Is it the novice? Yeah. Is it group A of the novice? Cause you guys had so many different
things. There's two parts of that. One, there was a good schedule made in place, but two, I believe there was alterations made to make sure people were
now
happy.
Is that because you guys were behind schedule too, or is it just like on the fly?
I think people may have been upset about that.
Near the end, the sun was coming down. The sun was in people's
eyes. Well, that
was
an issue for the later
people. Yeah.
The first people may have been upset that, you know, I've waited here so long. Why haven't we started?
Yes.
You know, so I don't know. You could dig in that tomorrow yourself. But then we saw the trikes and the the bikes and the scooters have a hit, but we didn't really see any scooters. Very interesting to see.
Yeah.
But these it kind of happened quick because these guys are fast and they are a single category. Yeah. So I guess we'll skip ahead a little bit here just so you could see them start. But you could watch this whole broadcast to see this happen. And we had some interviews in there. Okay, maybe we'll talk about that for a second too. So basically with these guys, it happened very quick. And this is like a one-time race because there wasn't many heats.
There were no classes for them either,
correct,
right?
Correct, there was no classes. Just straight up racing, just like the women in EUC or e-skate.
Got it.
But let's go back just for 1 second and just talk about why these things happened. This one may have been a good one. But a lot of this was trying to coordinate with the race team. Mm-hmm. So you see...
This is Law, for those of you who don't know.
Yeah, Law Lexina hanging out here. And a couple of them I know with show, especially at the end of the broadcast, were cut off. Okay, so let's pause that. The reason why that happened is because we are trying to coordinate with the race team at the same time when they are starting the races. Knowing the sun was coming down, knowing that was a problem.
Yeah, you were already
behind
schedule.
There was a conflict between Amped doing their broadcasted show, having not commercials, but just interviews and stuff in between filler when they need it. But the filler needed by the race team was about half the time that we needed to run those interviews and stuff.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to keep things going, and that was very special.
It makes sense. You're behind schedule. They didn't want to wait for like...
Well, they want to make sure everyone else, all the racers stayed out, because the racers were starting to get upset.
For sure. Like,
we don't want to hold out on production. We got to
get this done. And if I'm not mistaken, some people didn't get to race, right?
Well, some people missed it. Hey, you got to be at that gate ready to go. You can't go talking with your friends on race day. I'm sorry. It's a serious event. I think that's what
may
have been
for some.
We won't
call out any names.
Not everyone. Yeah, I don't even know who, to be honest. Yeah. But I know a lot of people, or at least a few people, I saw DNS did not start on the sheet. So I was like, that doesn't
Which
feel
is
good.
Fine, because I mean, if there's a schedule and you don't make it.
So a lot of this was trying to make sure that we were getting it done before sundown and having the race team just being like, we're going without... needing to check with us, but they should have, maybe they shouldn't have, who knows what's the controversy on that, but they started the race because they had to, so we had to cut from a lot of these just straight into the footage. So that's what happened. After the, do you have any other points after the trikes, scooters, e-bikes were insane and they kind of stole the show a little bit?
I thought that was a little strange that the Surons were grouped in with the trikes, because like they've got completely different motors, I guess, because there wasn't, from what I heard, there wasn't enough Surons or e-bikes to have their own category. So they grouped them with the trikes, but they're very different. It's like putting scooters with bikes.
Yeah.
That doesn't really make sense.
So I feel like that was kind of like the offshoot category in a sense, where it's like, I wish we could have you all have your own series, but we don't want you not to race.
Exactly.
Let's put you together.
Yeah.
Get you on the track.
It was a little unfair, and it was funny seeing the Surons just like... on certain parts of the track just pull way ahead because they had more torque and stuff, and then you can't catch up.
But so I think in the long term, the silver lining of all of that is to encourage more people to come out so they could have their own class and their own series. Like you see, the women didn't have a category for a long time. They got two categories this year.
Yeah, that was awesome to see.
Stuff. Love to see.
Shout out Shira. Speedy Kit Kat.
Speedy Kit Kat. Yeah, coming from Toronto. Doesn't care. Qualifies last. Doesn't even matter. It's great sport about it all.
Participation is what counts.
Yeah, we'll get into that here. And to be honest, on that booth when I was doing the e-skate women's, there was a lot of additional time on top to have to talk. And I have to be careful knowing it's a women's category. You can't misslip in anything you say. Don't want anyone to be upset in any reason for any reason. I try to be a very nice guy and whatnot. But, you know, it was an exciting moment for the women. especially to have, you know, their time on the track and not be having to be lumped into a either a category with men, and maybe they don't enjoy that as much.
Yeah.
But also to have enough people in their category to have their category there this year at Ride and Race to be
have their own category. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Like eight.
Yeah, their
to
times
10,
were very good.
Eight
yeah.
to ten is ideal to have a good full heat, and they, I'm pretty sure they were at that.
Yeah.
Pretty well at that, so it feels good.
That's cool.
Yeah. So let's scrim up. They had the novice, sportsman, EUC, e-skate events type. I think it was their like first like heat, and then there was a second heat that happened. So those are kind of exciting, but we kind of want to get to those pro finals and those sportsman finals. There's a something really cool that happened in a sportsman final too. But quick, we'll talk about the women. Maybe we'll find them here on the broadcast and share that for you.
This is them, isn't it?
Yeah. Because you see,
looks like Maribel. Yeah, her outfit's very recognizable.
Yeah. So let's talk about that for a quick minute. Hi, welcome back. The women's EUC race was exciting for a couple of reasons. One, is having Speedy Kit Kat in there, the one and only Canadian Shira. Female on the track that I believe that we know of. If not,
also happy belated birthday.
Happy belated birthday, which happened at this event. So it was really cool to see her there, although she may have gapped way back in the back, and you'll see her maybe pop up in the background here.
I mean, she also had a broken foot for the entire summer.
She's got plates and screws still in her foot.
Came out to California to race without any training whatsoever. We did one track day up here.
Yeah.
At a go-kart track to, you know, test out her skills. And
yeah. So let's go back.
So props
here.
To her. That's pretty impressive.
So you got the video now in front of you. And this is the women's race. Maribel, very obviously in her purple. Kind of easy to pick
yeah,
that
the
out.
White
and then at the very bottom of the screen, you'll see Shira.
Yeah, there she
coming
is.
Across, Speedy Kit Kat coming across. Does not give up. Wants to be on the track. Tries the race with all the people not giving up is the big thing.
No cutouts as well during this race, which
you
I
just even though like you see this a lot in competitions, there's people who back off and have a huge gap, and it's just discouraging to see those people kind of just give up.
Yeah,
right. And she was just happy to be there, happy to finish the race, and that's the type of, you know, mentality we need to have in this community to help a lot of those people come along. Hey, it's okay. I finished dead last with a huge gap. I didn't even care. You know, it didn't even matter. But another thing, that's the kind of personal thing to us. Another thing we saw here was Maribel just dominating this race, having a couple ladies get real close on her tail for the finish eventually. But she competed with the men as well.
Yes.
And I believe was she, we'll have to check up on this. She was in sportsman or pro. I believe it may have been sportsman.
I think sportsman, but I'm not sure.
Either way,
yeah.
Maybe it was pro. But she finished mid-tier and was not impressed by it. But she
There was a cutout. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember that too.
Yeah.
I should have mentioned that. Yeah, there was a cutout in the
It's always
race.
On the straight too.
Always. That exact same spot. It's just notorious. But so
I think that was also them trying to catch up to Maribel there.
Yeah.
It was whoever was in second cut out there on the straight.
Yeah, it was. And it was. And then she eventually caught up and she finished second last right in front of Shira, giving her some company at the end, which was nice. But another person we got to talk about here is Dawn Champion, who
I think
doesn't
that's Dawn,
necessarily
right?
ever really want to join the competition.
Race. She's not a racer.
Yeah, she's like, oh, someone sign me up or something like that. But then when she gets out on the track, she's hot on the heels of first place.
She comes from the motorcycling world too, so I respect
and she's,
her.
She's so graceful in how she speaks to you. She's very like humbling. But look on the track here. She's hot on the heels of Maribel. She's a great racer. It was great to see her out there really just nipping at Maribel's toes a bit, making her push her EXN. By the way, happy retirement to the EXN, Maribel. Great to see it on the track. And it helping you win this race here in front of us. So really cool to see that in the women's race. To speak real quickly on the women's e-skate race, I would have loved to see more women out there because I know they're all over America. There's all sorts of women, but the women's class at Race and Ride this year, although entertaining and great, was just a smaller class and there was less people in there.
There's probably more women e-skate riders than there are EUC riders, honestly.
Maybe, yeah.
Just
yeah,
maybe they're not racing, but like,
maybe
I would imagine,
wrong, yeah. But I mean, shout out to Dina for really just putting out and taking home that win. It was great on her, and to see some other riders out there. I believe Mia in there as well, who got second place. She's 14 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, she killed it. So it's great to see that women e-skate class, and I encourage all those other women, all over. I know there's some in advanced riders division race team and whatnot. I'd love to see you back out because you're really good racers, and it would really make that class truly something special for everyone to see. They'd be very excited to see that. So a little discouraging this year from Race Red to see that, but hopeful that it'll kind of pick up. So thank you, women. Where do you want to move on to from there? Because you were at home, and this is when we start to get into the...
Yeah, there was some, I think probably let's just skip to the, you know, we won't go through everything here, but let's skip to the main card. Or,
well, yeah, I think we can work our way up. Is there anything that truly was controversial or overly out of the ordinary when it comes to the novice races? I believe Albert from Two Cells, One Pack.
Yes.
He had a misunderstanding with his qualification. His first lap was very slow, thinking it was it wasn't a hot lap.
Oh, is that what happened?
I think so. Albert, please correct us in the comments.
Yeah, we were talking about your time in the Toronto Watch Party.
He mentions it online too.
Okay.
So if
he had one of the slower qualifying times, but then he won the Vancouver event.
Yeah, he got placed in the novice category, and he absolutely came from last place in every heat and just went and worked his way up to the front, and he ended up taking home a trophy. So good for you, Albert. That's kind of like a something very notable in the novice series that is worth noting in the EUC side of things for the men there. Well, I guess men open series at this point. It's hard to say that. It was cool to see him as a Canadian, as a guy from the EVs team in Vancouver to be pushing out and, you know, taking home a trophy. It was kind of cool. So that's fun. I think the next thing in sportsmen when it comes to EUCs was that crazy pass by Darnell and Vargas, first names fleeing at the moment, but those are the names, so that's the exciting part. Antonio Vargas and
I think
James
I definitely
Darnell.
Remember that it was right near the very end of the race too, right?
Yeah. All right so definitely you see there that. That's that final
that and was, on it, that was what surprised me is there wasn't that many of those sort of moments. I felt that a lot of the EUCs, and you know, maybe this is just in the novice and the sportsman class, but they kind of followed the same line. And there was a part when we were watching the Toronto Watch Party, we made a comment like, when you see the drone shot, they're all in a line. There was like, rather than, you know, side by side or kind of different lines trying to pass whatever, you look from the sky and you see like everyone just in the exact same line, and it's like, okay, well maybe that's the best line, that's like the race line or whatnot, but that's not going to allow you to pass the person ahead of you. Yeah, no. So we were trying to figure out like, is this intentional? Like, are the racers trying to hold, save it till the end? And then that one event did happen where like the last lap he passed.
Yeah.
And let's try and pull that up. But
it
didn't happen as much. It didn't happen as much in the pro class. Like if you watch the pro class, you can see that difference from the top down perspective of how everyone kind of rides their own line, which I thought was, it's an interesting difference that you can see between the classes.
Yeah, and I think a lot of this is like, you know, it's inexperience.
Yeah.
And not only that, maybe not inexperience on a track or knowing lines, but even inexperience on how a PEV runs lines.
Exactly.
It's
and they're
very
different.
Similar to
every
a car,
PEV
it's not,
is different.
It's not the same. No. Right? So it's everyone kind of figuring out their way. I believe I found the part here. They started coming a box or coming around. So 3, 2, 1. We'll have the video for you here. And these two, it was Darnell in front, Vargas behind, and they're coming into
the
second last corner
here.
Yeah. Antonio Vargas, extremely skilled veteran EUC rider, surprised to see him in the Sportsman Series, comes in knowing he's got skill up the bomb,
takes it,
dives
inside.
In.
Wow.
Darnell takes it.
Oh, they trade places here.
They
twice.
Trade places. Yeah. And then Darnell ends up coming out on top in the end. And these guys are pushing cutouts right at the end.
Yeah, beep, 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 yeah. Beep, beep, beep,
beep. That was an exciting moment.
That's a really cool spot.
Feature moment. Shout out to both of those riders. They're both insane.
Vargas is on his heels, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
and he made a pass. Antonio Vargas. Oh, James Darnell took it back. Here we go. James Darnell.
Love them both.
Yeah, that was pretty nuts to see that, because that you don't see that very often in these races. So that was cool.
Yeah, you have people separate a little bit, but yeah, it was cool to see that. So that was something in the Sportsman Series worth pointing out for sure. We're going scrumming over a couple of the show interrupted. Feels so bad for show, but like
I think they showed that like two or three times, and it never finished once. It was like an ongoing joke in the Toronto watch party group. We were like, all right, will this one finish? Will Show get his chance to finish his interview?
That's funny. All right. So this is a great moment to show it. I'll record the video here. So you have the Show interview that's going on. And then right when it cuts, you literally see me up in the air trying to see the track when they're rolling. And they start to roll. And right as it comes live, I'm like, oh, sit back down. And like, they're rolling. So watch this.
You sat down real quick.
Yeah. And it's the Eastgate women race here. 1, 2, 3. I believe there was 3 or 4 in the heat.
Yeah.
5 maybe in total. 1 did not start maybe. There's a lot of info out there. But you see them here on the track. So I want to message a couple people, but one in particular, her name flees me. It starts with an E, and she's part of the Advanced Riders Division, stuck out at Eastgate Con. Would have loved to have seen her here as a great example as another rider. But yeah, the women. Moving on to, I guess, pro series now or pro classes. We'll kind of get into the nitty gritty.
Yeah, I'm thinking of, you know, let's chat about some of those, you know, some of the controversies. I can only think of one, but maybe you know of others. And the big one for me is, you know, obviously the restart.
For the EUCs. Yeah, so I'll go over real quick.
There's probably Eastgate stuff as well, but maybe I'll let you.
Yeah, I don't really think there is much to the Eastgates.
They didn't have any crashes. They did an awesome race.
Yeah, I just kind of want to maybe touch on a couple things I said to like validate myself and the things that I messed up, like D-links and
we all make three
links. D-link and three link trucks.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's really not much to play. I just want to mention a couple of things for the Eastgate Final. It was a very clean race. It went over well. There's some other players in the game we didn't see there that could really push up. And I just want to make a couple of remarks. I mentioned a lot about Mario Chacon. A lot of other riders. He ended up winning.
Mario won.
But that was kind of, it wasn't a given, but a lot of people expected him to do quite well. So that was good to see. Harry Man Jack, I wish I said your name on stream properly, knowing you were second place. Mm. Did a great job. I held up right in there, and a couple of times on the stream, I was like, and he's hoping he had people hot up against his heels after running, and I'm like, these guys are, though. And the third one is
this is where you need that on-screen like banner that says who the player is.
Yeah, exactly.
So you guys in the booth can be like, all right, perfect. I got the name.
Like, I feel bad for not being able to ID them by like their Instagram names or their handle names or something.
But you
like
guys are also so far. Like, I guess you had your drone footage, like how can you
see? We had a TV kind of showing us what was on the broadcast, but it wasn't perfect either way. And then the last one is Rux. I got to meet him. He's a pillar in the community, truly, in Stu's race boards and whatnot. So it was great to see him come third place as well. I wish I kind of incorporated more of their names and made it more about the entire heat. I feel bad about that, messing up D and D-link trucks.
I would never have noticed. I have no idea what either of them are, but exactly. That's cool.
So, I mean, these are the small things. In the end, it was great to see an incredibly fast and masterful professional final pro heat for the Eastgates.
For sure.
It would be great to see some other names pop in there for the entire, the entirety of North America to see.
And I got to say, like, of all the PEVs, I think for me, the Eastgate is the most fun to watch. Hot take. As an EUC rider, and I don't even ride Eastgate, but like just as a spectator, maybe it's to do with the fact that those boards are so fast and off the torque.
And not only that, they can hold the speed in the corner.
They can hold it, the speed, right? The EUC, they slow down so much that you can really see like that. They're going like 40 in this corner or something.
And their body positioning is a little more abstract versus smooth criminal towards you.
It's just a guy in Tron body armor, a full face motorcycle helmet. And they just come at you doing a half smooth criminal.
So shout out to the Eastgate Pro finalists. That was an incredible race. You guys did great.
Yeah, I encourage you to look at that stream. I've watched the Pro finals for Eastgate several times. Not in vanity, but slightly in vanity.
You could have been there. Next year.
Before we get, this is the main show that everyone's been waiting to hear some comments about. Thank you for sticking in here. If you've scrubbed to the end or hit the button that told you exactly where this part is, happy to see you. So let's get into it, but maybe we need to refill our drinks and take a breather before this happens.
Yeah,
maybe a message from our non-existent sponsor. I mean, our sponsors.
Yeah, and a message from the sponsors.
Right, we'll be right back. Ice, icicle.
I thought you were going to say baby.
Popsicle. Baby. Test. Ding, 1, 2, 3.
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
That's where I was going with it.
Jack, 1, 2, 3. Oh, I knew.
That's the perfect cold open right there. Just all day.
I'm sad you didn't do that on the Amped.
Oh, man.
Broadcast.
Somebody would have lost their mind. All right, we're refilled. We got drinks here. We're ready to talk about everything and anything, I guess, as much as we could remember about what has now grown to be a somewhat controversial finish in the EUC world. So what do we got? Where do you want to start with? Where should we go with this?
Let's just jump right into the restart.
So let's run the video. We'll pause it as we go through and talk about what's going on.
We can show some of the video. We'll talk about it right now as it goes here. We don't really need the audio here yet. Yeah. But, you know, there was an event in the final in the EUC Pro Class, was it?
Yeah.
It was Pro Class, right? Yeah, so they restarted the race after X amount of time, which we'll show.
Yeah.
Because of a red flag.
Yeah, so we'll get into all that. We'll go piece by piece through this.
So there was obviously a couple things leading up to that red flag that caused them to have to restart.
Yeah.
So as a spectator, we had very little understanding of what was going on.
Yeah.
We knew that there was a red flag because you guys called that out on the stream. But what's funny is that like everyone was still racing. Or from our perspective, it looked like we were all just like, why aren't they stopping? Like, why is everyone still going around? Like, yellow flag, from my understanding, means slow down. And red flag means stop, or like we're restarting, right?
Right.
Am I wrong?
Let's define this from the get-go. And I don't think the racers, not to, you know, put words in their mouth or anything like that, maybe they didn't fully understand what the flags meant and how the flags are being used. But this is how they were being used at the Race and Ride event at Apple Valley Speedway. If there is a yellow flag, it is known as cautionary. And for that section of the track, you must go slow until the hazard is out of the way. Yellow flag. Once that hazard is cleared, that yellow flag is dropped. It's still green and you're still racing.
Got it.
If a red flag is dropped, this is what happens. In the racing world, if you do not complete one lap in regular car racing and a red flag is called, they basically do a restart and they regrid people up they were at the very beginning.
Yeah. So it's as if that lap never happened.
Right, because you didn't complete the lap.
Yeah.
That's normally with races with a lot of laps, and that, you know, matters. Same thing happened at this event. There was an incident in which the red flag was called, but the first lap hadn't completed yet. So that became an issue. The second thing was how they started up again. That's like the main part of that issue. So, maybe we'll run the video here for you guys to see and we'll stop it as we go along.
What do you mean by how they started up again? Like it just restarted.
How they gridded, how they set up in position.
So how did they do it? Cause from my perspective, if there's a red flag and it's the description you just gave, it should be just how it was initially.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't matter what
happened.
Or
that's what happened, but people believe that shouldn't have happened that
way. Got it.
So
people wanted whatever happened in that lap to be taken into account.
Yeah.
So, regardless of if you restarted from.
And we'll talk about why.
Yeah.
So we'll run the broadcast here so you guys can see. They started the slow roll.
Yep.
And right off the get go,
goes up.
They're in a good grid. They hit the green. They all torqued off, and everyone was out off like a gun. Like everyone was just out there.
Keep in mind, this is first lap.
Just started. There's controversy out there on what lap this happened on. Yeah. So keep in mind, this
but
is
it's
the
all
first lap.
It's a recorded event.
It's right here. So let's squash some, you know, some things with facts here. B. Ryan Frun, Brian Dillard, the guy's incredible. He's been training all year. He deserves to be in that number one position.
Yeah,
right,
we
now
were betting on who was going to win this, and
doing very well.
Yeah.
So props to B. Ryan. A lot of people on his team.
For
in this
what
matter.
It's worth, I had my money on Roger. Shout out Roger. I'm sorry you didn't win, but
I think a lot of people died, and they may have been a little bit biased towards Roger on the broadcast as well. But it's because it's harder to see a lot of those other riders and to understand every last one of
so
their
we're
backstories.
Coming in like turn six here.
Yeah. So this is where
turn seven, eight, so, nine.
Yeah. So if you see they're going to the very far side towards that white car.
Yeah, the back corner.
That's where Mario went down as they came around here. That's the first issue that popped up.
Did we
as
miss
they're
it?
Coming around. It doesn't happen on screen.
Oh,
you can't
okay.
see it.
Got it.
But as these guys make their way around, Mario, I think, is somewhere mid-pack, and you could see him coming up in a closer shot, I think. one of those racers off to the side. He's wearing jeans. But in this shot, he whips by real quick. And by that white car is essentially where he hit the ground.
Okay.
So that happens about here.
About now, yeah.
The officials are looking on the track.
So is he in that pack right there? No.
Yeah, he just went off to the side. Oh. And he's down.
He's down right now.
Not even 10 seconds later, these guys come into this corner. Boom. We have a slip out there by that rider.
Yep.
And then Roger Hajali comes in and slips out there.
Right behind him because he tries to dodge him. Yeah. Yeah.
At this point, they throw the red flag, but not because of the incident that is very apparent in front of the screen here. They were eyeing Mario Chacon.
Who wiped out.
I found out the right information today. He did not go unconscious, but he had lost his breath mm-hmm. and he was on the ground, like not really moving. So they were looking at that, and that 10 seconds for those guys to get around the track and have those two other racers spill out, looking at Mario is the reason why they threw that red flag. There's a rider down that it's like kind of not moving.
Yeah.
Red flag.
It doesn't take long to decide like, okay, this right? guy's not moving.
But on the broadcast, it's very obvious. They think they throw the red flag for the two riders that went down right in front.
Yeah, this is what we thought it was for. Yeah.
And why did these riders go down? The sun was under the horizon. The track got really cold. They were complaining
about
traction. They just
slipped on the turn here, yeah.
Right? You see it. Yeah. You go back here. If this is still recording,
It's dark. It's dark here.
You could see smoke come up because mm-hmm. he spins his wheel. Ready? Smoke.
Oh, yeah.
And he tilted forward. So it was pure slippage.
Yeah, he lost traction. That's right? All it is. Yeah.
So that happened. They kept on going. They then were presented with the start-finish line with the red flags. Like the first two, three riders didn't really see the red flag from what I saw standing at the start finish line. That's where I was.
And you guys, to be fair on the live stream, also didn't really show the red flag.
Yeah.
Until later.
Well, right here.
Yeah. Here. Exactly.
Right. So if you go back, see they're waving at the first couple riders go by, realizing something isn't right and kind of looking around. Mm-hmm. The second and the third and fourth riders saw that and slowed down. Like, hold on, that was a red flag, I think.
And this is at the finish line, right? Yeah. So this would be going into the second lap, but they're already waving the flag here.
So going into the second lap, they hadn't finished the lap yet, and they're being presented with the red as they come up to their second lap. I'm on the other side of this checkered flag on the left side, right there. By the time like that fifth rider comes in, the sixth rider comes in right there. Mm-hmm. I believe that's Turbo.
Looks like he's slow.
Fully gets it. Yeah. Fully gets it. That's a red flag. I'm stopping. Mm-hmm. B-Rye in the very front didn't get the message right away. No fault to his own. Didn't see it. Was in competition mode looking forward. Right now. The official's in the middle. He doesn't see the flag.
Oh, there's multiple red flags too.
Yeah, he's not focusing and he just doesn't see it. The official comes out. You see him running in the middle of the track to go over there and get in B-Rye's way as he's coming around.
Yeah.
Screaming at him, stop, you must stop, you must stop. When a red flag is presented to you, you like stop in place.
Yes.
You stop in place on the track. You don't know what's going on. You stop in place. So if an EMS has to get out, see, that's where it is.
Yeah.
If an EMS has to get out there, you have to guarantee that nobody's moving on that track.
Yeah, there needs to be
so
safety.
Literally stop in place.
Yeah.
So it was a misunderstanding and a lot of people got upset with B-Rye, but then they got upset that when they regridded, B-Rye wasn't out front.
I mean, it's not his fault maybe he didn't see it. So, I mean, he's slightly at fault there, I guess, but eventually he stopped. When he saw that third red flag, he stopped.
When he put his arms up right away, like, oh, I know I messed up.
Exactly.
You look at it on the video. He admits, like, he openly, physically admits, my bad, I'm sorry. But when you're racing mode, I get it. You're looking at the flags at the start.
He's focused
finish,
on
truly.
Just getting to the end, right?
And he's been focused all year. So, this was his moment.
Yeah,
he was zoned in like you wouldn't believe, and he truly, if he didn't cut out, which you'll see, he could have won this thing and really put up a great fight. So props to Brian Dillard, man. That guy is absolutely incredible, and he was in the zone.
Do you know what wheel
to him for that
by any chance?
Pardon?
Do you know what wheel he was riding by any chance?
I don't want to miss and get it incorrect.
No, that's fair. Yeah,
but
it's hard to tell in video because also with fairings and pads and stuff, you can't really make out the different. It looked, I think it was a Bagode, but I don't know.
So anyway, they went through this. They had, as they cleaned this up, ironically, they cut to a Mario Chacon interview while he was the one kind of being treated by EMS.
Yeah.
And then they worked into the regrid after a Mo interview here as well.
Yes.
So let's get through that so we could.
I think
show
those
you
are one
restart.
Of the first interviews that actually finished.
Yeah.
Since you guys had time to
so
get through those videos.
So they went back in and they regridded, but because they didn't finish the first lap, Mo said he's following race rules because they didn't finish that first lap. They went to starting grid position.
So people that's starting upset. Grid. Is that the qualifying grid or how was that
qualifying
decided?
Grid? Or I guess qualifying if they had a heat before.
True.
I'm not entirely sure.
But it went back to however the race started, essentially.
Yeah. Back in the positions they were in to start the race.
Yeah.
That ruffled some feathers because people who worked in that first lap to get up to where they were kind of earned it.
Yeah.
Right. But according to the rules they were running by, it doesn't matter. So, you know, in the future, should we make sure we're following maybe a specific set of PEV rules so there's not misunderstandings or, you know, hurt feelings or anything like that? Like, bro, like, come on. And why this became a huge thing is you're going to see right here as I push play. They go across the start finish.
Yeah, the second attempt here was even worse.
The rider who was in first cuts out
Right away too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's Brian Dillard, and it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Right? So then people are upset about this. I totally get it, and it sucks. It sucks to be in a situation like this, and this is why we have competitions like this. So we learn these things, and we make rules for the future.
Sorry, show. You had it easy.
Yeah. From that point on.
Congrats on winning, but
from that point on.
Rematch?
An absolute legend took over a show and just not looking behind him and really just pushing his way to earn that title he really wanted last year.
Yes.
And had the controversy of spilling at the finish or near the finish with Douglas, and that became a big story point this year as well. So props to show. Really great to see that he did win and get a first place out of that. But there's another big story in here that I think a lot of people are talking about. If that controversy is out of the way, and that's Roger, because he may have spilled out on that first lap and restarted. He was on show's heels. Look at this. Yeah. Right on second place. And that guy, everyone is kind of gunning for him to finally win something.
So I'm telling you,
he deserves it.
My money was on him for the first attempt at this,
but
unfortunately he cut out as well on the first one. Well, he didn't cut out. He slipped out.
I believe slipped out twice, but maybe the second time he went off the track. The camera doesn't catch it here.
Yes.
See, they're going up here. They just finished their first lap. Roger's right behind Show, going into this corner, makes the pass, and because I yelled out, Roger's in first place now. Something happened on that corner we don't see, and now Show's out front.
Show's way ahead,
Right? So there was a pass made. It looked like at that point from what I saw, so I yelled it out to the host table, and then he wasn't there. I think he landed in fourth or fifth or someplace way back there, and this man clawed back for second place.
But he came back, exactly. Yeah.
Clawed back for second place.
Yeah.
Like, what a show.
Yep.
Like, a show right behind Show. So that was exciting to see, like, and truly, like, fighting for that finish, and it made it an exciting race, because now people's kind of arms were up in air and ruffled their feathers a bit, and the pro race is still yet to finish.
This definitely was the most adrenaline spiking race of the event. So,
well, just because I enjoyed
that, there was a lot of hype. And
saw the red flag come up, I'm like, oh, this can't be good.
Yeah,
this can't be good, man. People are gonna be huffing and puffing about this some way or another, and it's because we haven't seen them a lot at all. So, like, how are we gonna deal with this, right?
Yep.
So at this
point,
look
how dark it is.
Yeah, the sun's under the horizon.
I'd like to point that out. It's getting cold.
The headlights are turning on in the wheels. Yeah. You see, I think Cameron in the back there. Mm-hmm. Great friend. Thank you, Cameron, for being a great friend. I see him at all the competitions now. In the pro final here. I believe, he was running lights. So it was getting dark.
The sun's basically gone.
People were complaining
now
about lights
point.
Not being on.
Yeah.
Well,
the track gets colder. This is winter after all. Yes, it's in California, but What was the temperature?
It was like 10 degrees.
10 Celsius. Yeah.
Enough where the compound
like
on your...
40-something Fahrenheit? Yeah. I don't know.
Enough where the rubber compound on your EUC tires
starts to
be
harden.
Affected.
And
starts to be affected.
You lose traction.
Really, at like 5 degrees, 0 degrees, it gets messed with. But at 10 degrees, it kind of gets, you know...
Especially if you're running like a motorcycle, like a Michelin tire or something.
Reduce those, contact patches even
worse. Yeah, and those do not do well in cold temperatures, so...
Yeah. So... It was a great race to see.
Fantastic.
But filled with, you know, leave in the comments down below if we didn't touch on a controversy, but there was a lot to be said about this race. You see Roger here clawing his way, and then he just took the inside there.
Yeah, to your point, like I saw some good comments online. You had some comments and people talking about maybe we should have different rules for PEVs. You know, there's battery sag, there's differences between the wheels themselves, right?
Yeah.
Like if you've got a big battery, EX30 versus a Master, even a Molicel, you're going to run into different challenges as you get into like the last race of the day, colder temperatures. You've already exhausted your battery because you did a lap and you were like, let's say your wheel is good for 3 laps. Now you have to do 4.5. all of a sudden because a red flag goes up. Well, this is something you don't have to worry about with gas cars.
Here's where I'm torn.
So batteries are, what are they going to give you time in between that reset to charge up back up your wheel?
Yeah. So here's where I'm torn. This is racing.
Yeah.
When it comes to racing, you know, you're going to have to follow by rules and guidelines and things that just suck, right? In a perfect world, you can't have everything you want. And you're not always going to be able to charge between or to worry about battery saggage. The best racers out there and the ones who are going to win competitions in the PEV world are those who know your devices.
Yeah.
And you know how much it's going to sag and know if you've got a red flag. Everyone else is in the same boat. No one else can charge too.
Yeah.
How are you?
Don't drain your battery.
How is your relationship with your wheel better than the buddy next to you? Do you know how that wheel is going to react knowing you have that much saggage, knowing how hard you can push? No shame to Brian Dillard for cutting out after that and people are saying saggage was the issue or whatever it was. I'm sorry, but it's the relationship with you and your device that is going to help you as an athlete and your device collectively win that.
But what do you think about like the differences between the wheels themselves? Like there's
this ongoing discussion right now in
some wheels have less sag because they have more battery or something like that.
So
there's that advantage disadvantage to like one person where you had to restart, that person gets kind of screwed because yes, they're not allowed to charge, but they also have a smaller battery.
Here's the issue with that. People want it to be separated into categories for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like skill categories.
Right now, like we talked earlier to relate it back to the women situation.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to separate into those categories, stock wheels, ones with
you're gonna have like two people racing,
whatever. You're going to have two people per class.
It's going to be silly.
So for now, to make any of this work, we're literally going to have to break it up.
Yeah.
So I don't care what you're riding. Can you ride it back? Can you ride a best? And back to that relationship of you and that wheel. I don't care what you're riding.
Yeah.
You could make your own wheel for all I care. Can you ride that thing and ride it faster than everyone else on their wheels? Mm-hmm. And, you know, can you buy a stock wheel, do zero modifications to it, and be the best racer in the world?
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
I agree.
So I feel like there's a lot of petty arguments happening right now. It's like people need to zoom out a little and be like, where are you
right now? This isn't F1 where you have like weight limitations and like fuel tank size limitations and like all these crazy
and
things.
That's when all that makes sense. When you have enough people and you're literally like, you can only accept 20 positions for this race.
Yeah.
We'll get to that point where we could separate it and make it a little bit more, you know, catered towards that way. But
that's
now,
when race wheels come out, in my opinion. Like you'll have dedicated wheels that are just like meant for racing.
Yeah, and that's the way it is in the e-skate world right now.
Exactly.
Stu's race boards. Exactly. They're race boards, not longboards.
Like they're not fun to ride on the street.
They're not meant to be ridden on the street.
They're not meant to be. You design them specifically for the track. Yeah. It's the same thing with cars and bikes and anything else out there.
And go ahead.
Yeah, right now people are just riding their everyday commuter wheel. Like my master, I could take it to a track and it's going to be no different than some other guy's master, right?
So you're going to ride that to work too.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So
and Mo touched on that in one of his interviews on the AMP stream. So if you're going back to watch that, you'll notice Mo said, you know, I'm seeing these EUCs in the next couple of years come out with a model that is specifically made to only be on a track.
Yeah, and there's people who will buy that.
He creates his boards.
Yes, 100%.
So, yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm complaining and my demeanor's like that. I'm like screaming, but like I'm kind of up in feathers about this too because I don't like people being so upset and just...
Yeah.
Not being like, I feel like people are slightly naive or not understanding. It's like, do some research.
It also won't encourage
to see some perspective
more
without...
people to participate, right?
Yeah.
Like you can't have that attitude if you want more to join in, and you know, it has to be more open to everyone right now.
And I do want to make the point that like a lot of people, when they go to these PEV events, especially this year, they're doing a lot of shade, man. They're talking crap. Oh, I'm never going to show up there. This competition's better. I'm only going to go over here. A lot of these competitions are in their inaugural years, still running to their second year, their third year. They're still learning.
Yes.
No competition is going to be amazing. And they're all progressively going to be crap last year,
exactly.
This year, and one is going to be better, but they're all kind of growing together. So please, maybe stop the hate online of like, this is a crappy position or the competition because of this, and I'm only going to go here because of that. Let's support everything and really help these competitions do better. Give that constructive criticism instead of, you know, trying to bash them down. It kind of bothers me, and that's why I want to have this conversation too, because that's not our community.
Yeah.
That's not the love that we're used to.
I agree 100%. And I feel like it's still such a new thing. It's hard enough. Like you and I dealing with ERL and Electric Racing League here in Toronto, we've had a hard enough time trying to just simply find a track or somewhere in Ontario, in Canada, which is a huge place that will allow us to even bring PEVs, and you know,
or be ignorant of it and just be like, okay, or whatever, be ignorant,
yeah, but yeah, like the whole, you know, liability yeah. and insurance and stuff. So
yeah,
you know, enjoy what you have, right? Like this is still very new, and there isn't 100 go-kart tracks that you can just show up to and like bring your PEV and do. There's no open track days, right? Yeah. Like if I have a car, I can go to one of like 20 different open track days every weekend that are happening somewhere at multiple different tracks, and I don't have to worry about like these types of things. With PEVs, it's such a new scene that what these guys are doing, like Stooge boards and like amped electric games, it's huge. It doesn't matter what event it is, like just go and support, and we'll get to grow it so that we can actually get to that point of like, hey, there's an open track PEV day. Like that would be amazing if we can get to that point where there's literally open track days for PEVs, and no matter where you are, you can go and practice your skill. I feel like that's kind of like the point I want to see us reach, but yeah. we're not even close yet. So like, this is a great direction to be going, but to your point, don't be negative online and not supporting these events. So.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a lot to say about it, but I believe, you know, if you don't build it, they won't come. And if you want to see it happen, you know, like I'm sure a lot of people wanted, or maybe if some people wanted to see like a proper broadcasting of PEV competitions, now we have Amped.
Yes. Right?
People complain or whatever it is. We're doing a lot of controversy today on this, but like at the end of the day, it's somebody's doing it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's the exciting part, and you got to be there to support it. But at the same time, I do want to play devil's advocate, and it's great to see these controversies come up. And that's why I wanted to have this episode as well, is because it's great to have these, because then we're going to progress the sport. We're going to make rules. People are going to be cognizant of these things that have happened in the past, and the next competition is only going to get better and better and better. And everyone learns in different ways from these things.
Exactly. So,
you know,
and we will reach a point where those rules, to your point, are maybe PEV specific, right?
Yeah.
Like we will get there. It takes time, and it needs to mature to that point. It's not just like we're going to start out the gate with those.
Yeah. So I think maybe the motto of this entire kind of discussion is, growing pains are exciting, but they hurt. You know, like this whole idea of PEV racing, it's, you know, it's growing pains. It hurts, but it's also like super exciting because we're growing.
Yeah,
something's happening. You know, in the next 5 years, I don't expect to see any of this on the Olympics, but to see this on like a network on cable television.
I mean, look how long it took for, I think, skateboarding to get into the Olympics.
I mentioned that like the other day to somebody about the culture of this and how skateboarding is one way.
It's a similar thing, right? It takes time to grow and mature, and then, you know, maybe one day it'll be in the Olympics.
Yeah, I see PEV racing correlating a lot to motocross.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. You have big money, some big companies will help support it, and there's a lot of support there to make it all happen. But it's not going to be like skateboarding where it's driven a lot underground with these companies who don't have as much money. Mm-hmm. And then eventually it makes its way into the Olympics, right?
Yeah.
So it's an exciting time to be here. Of course, you hear that a lot about, you know, the PEVs and whatnot, but AVS and the Race and Ride did not disappoint this year. I feel.
I appreciate hearing everything from your perspective. And if you guys are still listening to this point, let us know like what things you liked about Race and Ride, what things you'd want to see improved. I think that's really important.
Yeah.
And then maybe we'll see you guys all at eSkate Con.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, some next race event.
Yeah, so if you ever see us in person, please come to Toronto. Let us know. Hit us up on Instagram or whatever, PV Lane. Let us know if you're around here. We're just super happy to still be here and talk about this stuff with you guys. So
until next time.
Yeah, we'll see you on the next video of us. Anyway, by the way, if you're still here at this point, we realize this is a somewhat longer video and you might have had to skim through it, but we're super happy to have this longer conversation. If you enjoyed it, let us know in the comments down below that you didn't mind the longer video, but there was a lot to talk about here and we're super happy we got a chance to do it.
Appreciate you guys.
Thank you so much. We'll see you next time on PEV Lane.
Peace.
Peace.